When Moses went up the mountain, he went because he had to obey God. And God wanted him to be the chosen leader for his people. Now, estimates vary as to how many there would have been who were part of that great exodus, well into the hundreds of thousands. And to suddenly bring all those people together in one great group needed not only a fair amount of organisation and logistics, but also a sense of community and a sense of direction and a sense of purpose. Yes, I know they wandered in the wilderness. I know for 40 years they wandered around the Sinai Peninsula. But throughout it all, there was a sense in which God was moulding and shaping these people. And what held them together? It was not a sense of fear and trepidation, nor of people who were under the thumb of a despotic ruler. But it was the love that God showed to his people that bound them together and was the uniting force. You can do all you want within community to make it cohesive, but unless there is a sense of love and care, compassion, faithfulness and concern for one another, then that society will at some point or other fragment. And I want to believe that it is the love that God has shown and demonstrated to his people that has kept the faith of countless generations from day one to now, and I trust and pray through God's grace into the future. It is only through the love of God. You see, the Old Testament writers in Hebrew had a word specifically for the love of God, and that word was hesed. A word which spoke, in our failing understanding of it, as kindness and favour, and this word love. Love. Oh, how misunderstood and misinterpreted is the word love. For we look at it and our minds are filled with all kinds of different images. And society at large and the advertising industry will show us what it thinks love is. And we will sometimes struggle to fit our pattern of understanding into that image. It was so ingrained in the people of God that throughout the pages of the Old Testament you will find time and time and time again the people of God referring to God as a loving God. And this was completely different to any other nations and their deities, their focuses of worship. Whereas others would talk about their vengeful, willful, punishing, demanding sacrifices, deities, in terms of control of those people, the people of our God, the people of the Lord, knew him as a loving God. And so I feel that this backs up the statement I made earlier, that it is through love, however we look at and define and describe that, the love of God has kept together the people of faith for generation after generation, whereas those who try and use force or the demand for sacrifice has caused those cultures and those societies to crumble fall away and be no more. Jeremiah in chapter 31 verse 3 says this: Long ago, when he was writing, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. There's a sense in which love is the true love. The love of God, which we speak of here, is the one that draws us inexorably to the source of that love. It is that sense of this is something good and worthwhile, something beautiful that I can give myself to. Whereas if I'm forced, do I really want to? Do I really want to? We know when people are in a loving relationship, and please hear me very clearly here. I am not simply saying two individuals in a loving relationship. When the people of God are in a loving relationship, then there is something beautiful and attractive about that. Whatever your gender or your marital status or anything else along those lines, when there is the love of God, it is that which draws us together. And you only have to look through the pages of scriptures in the Old Testament to find reference after reference after reference to the love of God. Exodus chapter 15, verse 13. With unfailing love, you, God, will lead the people you have ransomed. Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. Again, reflecting the words that we read earlier from 34. This God who lavishes his love on those who love me. Careful with that one. Very careful. I lavish my love on those who love me. It's a poor translation in some ways. Because God's love does not depend upon you loving him. Can you hear that quite clearly? When it says, I lavish my love on those who love me, God loves you anyway. God loves you anyway. And we read earlier in our meeting from chapter 34. And then you go on and through these books of the beginning part of the Old Testament, we come to Numbers chapter 14 here. And here we have again this reference. The Lord is slow to anger and rich in unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. Reflecting again what we read earlier. Deuteronomy, the book of law, chapter 5, verse 10. Here we are, the Ten Commandments again. I am the God who loves. I love you with an unfailing love. I lavish my love for a thousand generations. Time and again, the establishment of our faith, which finds its roots in the Old Testament, has as its underpinning theme throughout it all, the love of God to his people. This is not a God who wants anyone to be destroyed or punished. This is not a God who demands that we pay sacrifices, we gift gifts, we do all those sorts of things that were so prevalent in that culture and those cultures around that time. So there's the underpinning. But you know what? It's okay in theory, Major. Show me in practice. Well, I can show you in practice. Because I can point to Jesus. I can show you Jesus. In the pages of the New Testament. I can show you this man who is truly and properly God. He is the incarnation, God made flesh, dwelling among us, full of grace and truth, as the one who is full of love, love to his people. And the key, the conduit through which the love of God is shown is found in that very famous verse in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's nothing about sacrifices and gifts and offerings. It's an open invitation for each one to respond to somebody who wants the very best for them, who loves them unconditionally, endlessly, from beginning, from before beginning to the end, to beyond the end. God loves. And Jesus, when he was talking with his disciples in the upper room, we read this in John chapter 15. And there, amongst everything, he's talking about the true vine, he's talking about the hatred of the world. He says this: I have loved you even as the Father has loved. Remain in my love. There is no safer place for us to be than within the love of God. There is freedom in the love of God. There is security in the love of God. But it's still theoretical, isn't it? This is what exercised my mind. How do we make the Word of God, which says that God loves us, how do we make the Word of God, which says God loves us and he gave Jesus, how do we make the Word of God that Jesus says to his disciples, as the Father has loved me, so I love you, remain in my love, how do we make that real? I'll tell you how we make that real. We make that real by not abusing anyone. We make that real by loving and caring for everyone. We make that real by showing compassion with the handshake or the hug as appropriate. We make that real with a cup of tea or the sandwich or the pot noodle as appropriate. We make the love of God real by gently serving one another and accepting one another and listening to each other. That's how we make the love of God real in our community. We make it real by picking up the phone and speaking to a friend or inquiring after their health, or by writing a card or a letter or sending an email or one of those messages on Facebook that nobody else can get to see, but you and God know what it is that you type on social media that encourages and blesses and builds up. That's where we, as God's people, should be using the modern day communication systems that we have at our disposal so that we can encourage one another and not bring one another down and not gossip. And please don't cast me to cut and paste or copy and paste, whatever you do, because I ain't going to do it. I want to use every means at my disposal. As Paul said, I will be all things to all men, so that by some means I will win some for Christ. And I want you, my dear friends, to join me in that we will use all means at our disposal to win people for Christ. You know, as I look around this congregation this morning, I see people with opportunity to influence for good where you are. Regardless of your age, regardless of your employment status, regardless of your health and your strength, whether it's you're fit enough to run 2 10Ks in 2 weeks at stupid speeds, looking at someone in this congregation, or whether you would have struggle even walking to the front door. You can use your influence Because God loves you. You, as you are, for what you are, where you are. And you, in turn, must translate that so that others can be won for the kingdom. The world will not know the love of God unless we demonstrate it. It will not know the love of God if we stand on street corners and shout it and don't live it. We have to do everything, all means at our disposal. So when the band, that woke you up, woke me up, when the band go and play in the city centre, come with us. Come with us and talk to the people round and about and show the love of God. When we stand with a collecting box and ask people to support our Christmas appeal, help. But do it because you want the opportunity for a conversation that says, do you know God loves you? When the cry goes out for somebody to help on the soup run, do it so that you can show love, the love of God, to people. When Monday Mayhem wants people just to come along and help, do it so that those young families can know that God's love is real. I think of the things that have happened in this place over these last few weeks. I think of the Family Fun Day and 150 people coming through these doors. And I think of Messy Church last Sunday afternoon when 68 people were here in this hall. And I think this is where God has a harvest field that we need to tap into. And I'm thinking of other people who may be listening to this message. Where you are, in your churches or chapels or Salvation Army Corps, find a way not to get your own way, but to do God's will through his love where you are. God is love. God is love. It's shown right from the start. It's personified in Jesus, and we, his people, are called to echo that in our lives. Let us do it. We're going to pray together. On screen will come the words of our closing song, Song 618. But before we sing it, look at these words. Is this your prayer this morning? If it is your prayer, would you read it with me? And in your mind, have that picture of a loving God who, from eternity to eternity, loves his people. And he asks that we should be like him. If this is your prayer, then read it with me. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Is that your prayer? If that's your prayer, then that prayer needs to be translated into action in these days. And may God, by his loving kindness, his hesed, his faithfulness, lead us into acts of love and compassion for the world in which we live.